You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
So the word woke has gained some currency in the last couple of years. Where does it come from? What does it mean? Many of you are confused by some of the terminology that young people use, words like decolonization as well. We've previously had discussions attempting to unpack it on this show. But even when you don't know what it means, you associate it, I would guess, for the most part, with politics, don't you? And what is fascinating is that there is also an economic side to this that one needs to think about in terms of business strategy. And something that caught my attention over the last couple of weeks is Dion Chang, well-known trend analyst and also, of course, founder at Flux Trends, has been thinking a little bit about the economics of woke as part of the annual The State We're In presentation that they deliver. And this is very important because we often ask about what we need to do to adapt to the language, to the insights, to the identities of parts of the market that perhaps there's a generational gap between our old fart selves and the younger people who are the ones with all the money that you want to attract to your product, services, and so forth. So for the next little while, I'm sure that you're going to be enjoying the insights with Dion. Dion is joining us now on the line, and we'll try and make sense of this term. Some of you probably just want to know what it actually means, but beyond that, we'd also talk about the strategic side to this conversation. Dion, good morning, and thank you so much for being available to talk to us today.
Hey, Eusebius, happy Dineo Day to you.
Same to you. We have survived long enough for this conversation to happen. Maybe the last one.
Well, I think we've been very woke to Dineo, but but thank you for inviting me over. When we first came out, we just really released this trend presentation, and some people said, gosh, you guys have got really bad grammar. Why are you using woke? So just to clarify for everybody, it is a socio-political term, and in fact, if you go back, the origins of woke actually started with a phrase in an Erykah Badu song in 2008 called Master Teacher, and she said she first used it, and she said, "Stay woke." So woke really started gaining traction around about 2013, and it sort of spread as a hashtag in social media, specifically when it came to the shooting and the death of Trayvon Martin in America, and when the Black Lives Matter movement started rising up. So people in essence, it means you know what's going on in the community, and it came specifically from an African-American perspective, relating to racism and social injustice. So if you want to use the word woke accurately in a sentence, you actually need to reference somebody who is thinking for themselves, who sees the ways in which racism, sexism, and inequality affect our lives on a daily basis. So, people will say, gosh, Eusebius is really being woke today, or and then you hashtag something, stay woke, if you're tweeting about something that is about inequality or racism and that kind of thing. So that's really where the starting point is. But what we did with it is we started looking at different trend pillars here. So we look everything from in the retail perspective, in a tech perspective. So for me, we looked at the rise of the machines last year quite specifically. And what I'm starting to see as well is that your technology is becoming woke. So everyone's talking about artificial intelligence. There's these new things. I've got one in my home. It's called an IPA, an intelligent personal assistant, where you just bark orders to it and it responds. It's quite frightening, but terrifyingly convenient. But what in the last week or so, thanks to President, it's still hard saying that, President Donald Trump, is the fact of how brands have started reacting to the political arena. So there's been a blurring of the lines of what business used to do is just focus on the bottom line, and a slow realization that you can't just be bottom line driven, and that you've got to change your mentality. So for most companies in a lot of the lectures that I do is advocate to brands and companies, you've got to start moving from a sales-based mentality to a value-based mentality. So if I can just also backtrack a little bit. So it started about 2 years ago in America, where they were trying to push these what they called religious freedom bills in different states of America. And this is where it first started to get onto my radar. So a religious freedom bill would give you, just say Eusebius, you own a little coffee shop, and in that whatever state of America you live in, you would have protection if you as a coffee shop owner and someone from the LGBTI community came in and you say, we don't serve your sort, you would be protected by law, by this religious freedom bill, to discriminate against the LGBTI community. The backlash from big business and multinational brands was very swift and very, very vocal. And so, it's, for example, they tried to push it through to in the state of Indiana, and the city of Indianapolis lost about, they calculated, about $63 million in economic activity, because people, I think it was Bruce Springsteen, said, I'm not having a concert there. People just moved their conferences. They said, we're not rehiring in your state or in your city. People just fled, and that was the real start of the economics of kind of being woke and being open to this. So a company called Havas Global did this international survey, and it came back with a resounding affirmative that people all around the world now see that it's not only government, but they lay the responsibility at big business and big brands' doors to push for positive change. They said it's not just a government thing, it is a business requirement that you do so. And if you look at it, it's brands trying to be good, so there's brand activism, but there's also a mercenary part of it. Of course, it's business. So these brands are wanting to attract a more diverse and a younger consumer base. But on the flip side, if I sort of lay over all of our studies on Gen Z and millennials, is these companies also want that younger and more diverse workforce. And you can't say, well, you know, especially if it's a younger generation, well, give us brand loyalty, but we're doing this unethical stuff, or we're not standing our ground in terms of values. And, you know, I'm sure as hell not going to, give you brand loyalty, but I'm not going to come and work for your company. So it's pushed brand into, or business, into a very uncomfortable, well, for them, position, because now they actually have to draw a line in the sand and say, this is what we stand for. These are our value systems. And it was, they said it was never part of the business lexicon. And suddenly you've got to stick your neck out and say, this is what I stand for, and these are our values,
which leads me to this question then, Dion. I mean, if an important part, as you have defined being woke, is that there's a certain kind of, as you've said in the presentation, intangible awareness almost about how important different issues within the community are, racism, sexism, classism. If it is intangible, what kind of strategic business posture is one to adopt if you are an outsider, for example, looking at this community and you are hoping to grow your base of potential future consumers?
Well, it's quite a difficult question to answer, because you've got to choose sides now. So what happened in the last week or two with this travel ban for Muslims that Donald Trump did, there was there were two companies, and one of them is our own, well, born in Tasca, Elon Musk, boss of Tesla, as well as Travis Kalanick, one of the founders of Uber. They're both on the President's Advisory Council. So when Trump came out with this stuff, they were in a very difficult position, because you're on an advisory council, but you want to also be critical of this ruling. And they tried to sort of steer a middle line path. So at Tesla, a whole lot of people immediately cancelled their orders of a forthcoming, let's call it Model 3 Tesla, that was there. So you had that. And then reportedly, a whole lot of people, there was a whole thing with Uber, that people just deleted that app and then went to the competition, which was Lyft. So it was a very, very swift way of people voting with their feet. And because we're in a digital era, you just, you know, you do it on an app, and it's quick, and it's quite brutal for businesses. Yeah. So it's exactly that. It's a very difficult, intangible thing, and businesses are not used to doing that. So we're used to seeing quick responses. So, for example, the Nando's is always in South Africa being very quick on the market and being very, very funny. And you saw that with the whole Washington thing where it says, you know, everybody is welcome. And I love that we just as a quick aside, just to show how quick people are, straight after that Kellyanne Conway thing about alternative facts came out, there was a pizza joint in America, in Ohio, who came out with an alternative facts pizza. they called it six slices, but of course it had eight slices, and they said it was zero calories, and of course it's pizza, of course it's got huge calories. So this was the alternative facts pizza, and you just see people coming up, and you saw the politicization, if I can call it that, of the Super Bowl, which is, you know, one of the biggest highlights of you know, an American calendar, and you get the performers who did that, and Beyonce did her formation last year, and here this platform, and it's, you know, it's $5 million for a 30-second commercial. It's a big money to spend, and that is where you saw brand after brand after brand coming out with this sort of politically responsive ways of doing things and stating that there is some brand activism there, and we stand by you, and everyone from Airbnb to Pepsi, you know, all of these brands used that $5 million to state what their stance was.
So Dion, really, some of it also strikes me as not necessarily being political in a sort of heavy bessoir kind of way. Some of it also seems to me signaling to that part of the younger market in particular that you just understand their grammar, their cultural grammar. I mean, I've noticed, for example, speaking of Nando's, that some of the tweets in the last couple of weeks have been hilarious and mimics the way in which many of the woke ones tend to be also just quick off the mark with a quick little rebuttal. There was one person who tweeted Nando's and basically was bitching and moaning about how lovely the chicken is, but, you know, they can't really afford it or something to that effect. And the response from the handle was, yeah, you strike me more as a hungry lion kind of guy.
Yes.
But it was like, you could see that they have a good sense, not just of the politics, but also a certain kind of instantaneous interaction, quick off the mark, just in terms of flow even, when it comes to the woke ones.
But you really hit the nail on the head there, because, you know, it's not just about, okay, you know, we sympathize for you. So those kind of empty platitudes, you know, a younger generation is going to see through it immediately. So you can't just, you really have to walk the talk. You can't just say things about it. So then you've got to be woke. You've got to understand that. And then what you're saying is really kind of the master's degree in you know, being brand active, is that brand persona. You've got to be able to speak the vernacular, you know, if I can say it that way, of the people that you're trying to reach and speak to them, and you know, it's all part of kind of modern digital marketing and social media, because it's so fast, it can be brutal, and as we know, there's trolls out there as well, so it's a rocky road to travel. So I do sympathize with the brands, but the ones that are out there have. A lot of them have caught on to it. Where this is interesting is the big corporate business, because they haven't really gotten onto the bus with this as well. It's still, you know, that very corporate mindset. It's very siloed. It's very hierarchical. It's really, really old school. And that is where business is starting to impact. Because if you know, the examples I gave of the different brands that responded, they're all of these new guys. You know, it's Airbnb, it's Tesla, it's Uber, it's these guys that have done this thing. Your very traditional business, your, you know, banking industries, you know, all of those kind of things, they are the ones that are really at risk there, because if the first line of defense is, well, you know, it's consumer brands and we want this younger, more diverse customer base, for the corporate market, it's how do we attract those younger people into our workforce? And we, you know, I heard the statement yesterday, you know, on your show, that if you look, you know, politically, your opposition parties have a younger demographic in it, and you can see the conflict and the tension that it's causing there, and you're getting the same thing replicated in a corporate environment, because it's just that clash, and it's polar opposite ways of looking. We've done a lot of research about the future of work, and oh my goodness, trying to chisel away at that kind of corporate mindset is very, very difficult, and understandably so, because you know it's not an agile environment where you can move. But this kind of activism requires a very, very agile and quick response to it.
11 minutes before 11, let's take a quick break. If you have a question for Dion, fascinating. If you are in one of those big corporates, do you recognize in him a certain inbuilt conservatism, not being open to a vernacular of woke? Is this a useful conversation for you? Do you feel like you can reduce the distance between yourself and the young ones? They are the future consumer base, future employees as well. So you got to understand this stuff and not be overwhelmed by it. Give us a quick call on 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. Dion, so if I'm a CEO listening to this conversation and I'm now at least at a high level convinced that I shouldn't be scared of weird terminology, lifestyles, identitarian politics, how must I rethink the strat planning session that I had written last week before hearing Dion Chang?
So I think, before the break, we were saying a lot of companies that we're saying you're moving from a sales-based mindset to a value-based mindset. And I think the easiest way of doing it is you don't think of your customers as consumers. You think of them as citizens, and I think that's quite a small but very, very big shift. So think citizens, not consumers, and that sort of takes it away. And what we're seeing a lot in business is that, it's going to make a CFO, if they're listening, cringe completely. But a lot of these new companies, these very dynamic companies, they're not only bottom line driven. So of course every company is bottom line driven, but there's such a huge groundswell that you've got to do other stuff and just chase the money. So being looking at citizens, not consumers, is one of those things. So you're looking not at a transactional relationship with your people and your customers, but a transformational relationship. So that's what I meant by, you know, all of these companies have this now responsibility of pushing for positive change. And if I might, just because, you know, we've been talking about American or global brands, I want to just give a shout out to two South African brands. It was the Spur Group and the Wimpy, who last year did exactly this. So there was that whole debacle about pasta, I call it in inverted commas, pasta Stephen Anderson, who was trying to come to the country. And those two brands really came out with a public response saying, we don't tolerate this and you're not welcome in our restaurants. And I think that was, you know, a really good indication that you've got South African brands, besides the Nandos, those kind of guys, that also react very, very quickly to this. And I think it's a very, very good thing.
Is there a way, Dion, to measure the impact in terms of value creation? Obviously, what you're saying is music to my half woke 37-year-old ears. But, you know, capitalists want to talk money. Does it make bottom line sense to think of Eusebius and those younger than him as citizens, not as customers?
Yes, I think it's if people haven't felt that the tremors underfoot already, because what I do is really specialize and deal with disruptional management, if you can call it that way, is really it is a new world order. So I think a lot of companies look at the tech aspect of disruption. So what kind of technology, what kind of digitization is collapsing their value chains, is destroying their supply chains, and how things are being done differently. This is a different thing. These are if you speak to HR people, there's a higher propensity to look look at soft skills of bringing into a workforce. So for businesses, and if you are that CEO, these are soft skills of business which you haven't really thought were central to your business, because it was all about management, it was bottom line, it was all of these kind of about strategy. Now you're seeing more and more and more that companies are advised to say, ditch strategy and rather look at culture. So the culture, the ecosystems of your company, of how that works, and it's a very, very different ball game. And I think that is why, I'm very thankfully very, very busy, is because a lot of the companies they just keep looking at strategy. They have these hierarchical, siloed sort of 20th century models of business, and we're in this 21st century where culture is and ecosystems of how you operate is much different. And specifically, the purpose. I'm very, very big on purpose. I say to people, what is your company's purpose? And, sometimes I get blank looks and they say, well, we're either a food company, we're a beverage company, we're this kind of thing. And I'm saying, yes, but that isn't the purpose anymore. Mm. The times have changed and you've got to identify what is the purpose of your company. And once you identify the purpose, so my answer to you is to that CEO is, what is the purpose now of your business? And if you think it's just the nuts and bolts of your business, you're very wrong, because those things have changed and you need to find that purpose as a starting point and then work forward from there.
Dion, thank you as always for your incredible incisiveness.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Dion Chang, Trends Analyst and founder at Flux Trends, speaking there to the economics of being woke. And I think many insights there. The one for me that sticks, I think it's more than a slogan, is makes business sense, as he explained, is that you can no longer afford, particularly with younger folks, to treat them as customers, but to think of them as citizens.